Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 to 4, Mark 1, 40 to 45, Luke 5, 12 to 16. Tonight we'll be reading out of Mark 1, 40 to 45, Christ's gracious healing of the leper. When Peter found Jesus praying in a solitary place the morning after Christ had experienced a full day of ministry in Capernaum, Jesus had told Peter that he had been sent to preach in the other cities in Israel, that they needed to leave Capernaum to fulfill that divine calling. However, a need arose in the life of a man that demanded the Lord's compassionate attention. But Jesus also knew that if he addressed the need, it would result in blocking his capacity to fulfill his Father's will that he minister in other cities in Israel, like Jesus had informed Peter. Well, Jesus' decision on this important matter is informative for us, and we view it for our insight and our application. I'd like to read the passage that we have, and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And Jesus straightly or immediately charged him forthwith or strongly, and sent him away, and said unto him, See that you say nothing to any man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in deserted places or lonely or solitary places. And they came to him from every direction. It's interesting that in accordance with Christ's word to Peter that he needed to minister in other cities besides Capernaum, Jesus began to preach in the synagogues throughout Galilee, casting out demons. We know that from Mark chapter 1, verse 39. However, a man who was stricken with leprosy came to Jesus, and falling on his knees, he begged him, saying that if Christ was willing, he could make him clean of his disease and of the horrible isolation that he faced in being viewed as ceremonially unclean. Now, to understand the depth of this man's need, we go into a little bit of what it was like to be a leper in Jesus' day. The leper's plight was enormous, for the emotional and the mental suffering that accompanied his disease was intense. A leper had to warn people who passed by him to stay away from him by crying, Unclean, unclean. Nor could he speak to anyone or receive or return a greeting. A leper was considered the recipient of a direct stroke of God as punishment for special sins. So he had this problem of guilt that was poured upon him. He couldn't greet people. He couldn't talk to people. All he could do is shout, unclean, unclean, from a distance. And when I was in Africa, we had lepra colonies there. And leprosy is a terrible disease. It starts by creating spots, turning the hair white and everything, but eventually people start losing their limbs or the noses or the ears, and they become lame, and it just eats away at the body. It's a terrible situation. Well, this situation created an instant crisis in Christ's ministry, functioned as follows. Since Jesus was God come in the flesh, we know that from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, he foreknew that were he to heal this leper, he would spread the news of this healing so far and wide that it would be impossible for Jesus to enter any town openly to minister there like the Father had called him to do. However, Christ as God incarnate also had an infinite love for this leper, what would demand that he address his terrible plight and heal the stricken sufferer of his horrible disease. The question is now, what are we going to do? We're caught between the will of the Father as you have to go into the cities. But if he heals this man, he's going to be blocked from doing that. On the other hand, you've got to heal the man because the love of God, an infinite love of God, demands that he address this man's plight. So Christ reflected the Father's will in all that he did. We know from John 14, 9, when he was talking to Philip, he said, Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, if you want to know what the Father would do, what the Father would feel in a situation, you just look at the life of the Lord Jesus. And in this case, both Jesus and the Father were moved with compassion or pity or sympathy. The Greek word is splagnitzomai, and for this leper, and reaching out his hand to touch him, what according to the law would make any other man ceremonially unclean because he was touching a leper. Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. Now you can see the love of Christ. He reached out, he actually touched this man. And that would have been almost a shock to this leper because no one had ever reached out to touch him since he'd had leprosy. But Jesus did. He reached out and touched him. He could have just spoken from a distance, but he didn't. He wanted to demonstrate his compassion for him. Now Jesus was not polluted by touching the leper's body, but the leper's whole body was cleansed by the touch of Christ's holy hand. Jesus is the only one who could come along and he could touch something instead of it making him corrupt or polluted under the law. He would cleanse it because he's God. Another place the Lord Jesus came across, they were carrying the widow's son, the body of the widow's son, up on a bier, which would be a platform. They were carrying him off to the grave to bury him. And Jesus stopped and he touched the bier, which normally would have made him ceremonially unclean. And he spoke to the young man and he immediately stood up. He was raised from the dead. But Jesus had the capacity to purify whatever he touched. So the leprosy immediately left the stricken man and he was made whole and ceremonially clean, unclean. I don't know the extent of damage that the leprosy had done to this man. I don't know if he had lost fingers or a hand or whatever. But whatever damage had been done to his body was completely reversed instantly. And this man was totally whole. And you can imagine the shock that it would have been to this leper. And also this leper was a man who had been isolated from people. And there would have been a tremendous drive to mix with people. And that's what he did. He went out and blazed abroad that he was a leper, but now he was cleansed. And he could actually talk to people. He wasn't in violation of the restrictions that the Jews had placed upon him because suddenly this terrible restriction that had been placed upon him was released. So you can understand where this man is coming from. Well, Jesus quickly sent the man away, charging him not to tell anyone about his healing, but to go and show himself to the priest and to offer the sacrifices Moses commanded for his cleansing as a testimony to the priest of Christ's ability to heal as the Messiah. Leviticus chapter 14, verses 2 to 32 had an extensive instruction to those who had been healed of leprosy. They had to go to the priest. They had to have certain sacrifices, and there were tests that the priest would do. They'd put him in quarantine for a period of time and whatnot. And this priest would find out that this man was totally healed and would be stunned, and so he'd start investigating. And the man would tell him, so, well, Jesus healed me. Well, what that would require the priest to do is to contact the Sanhedrin. So the Sanhedrin have to get involved. This is the religious ruling body of 70 men. And they would investigate. So this is supposed to be a testimony not only to the priests, but to the leaders of the nation Israel. And we know in Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6, when the John the Baptist had sent some of his disciples to the Lord Jesus, wondering if he was the Messiah or not. Jesus said, go and tell him that the poor have the gospel preached unto him, the lepers are healed, the dead are raised, and so forth. This is a fulfillment of Isaiah 61:1, Isaiah 35:5. So Jesus was actually demonstrating his messiahship. So this command was meant to get the healed man directed away from attracting large crowds around Jesus so that Christ could continue to enter Israel's cities in accordance with the Father's calling. So the love of Christ demanded that he healed this man, but at the same time he recognized he needed to direct this man very sternly, not to tell everybody, but he didn't do that. The healed man instead went out and he talked freely, spreading the news of his healing so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he had to stay outside of the towns and deserted places, and the people would come to him. Well, nevertheless, God still arranged for Jesus to minister in the region to the people of Israel, for the people still came to him from every direction seeking healing, and of course, they came to hear his teaching. So Even though he had been sent to the cities, he couldn't go to the cities, but the cities came to him because of the tremendous healing that Jesus did, and then he was teaching these people as well. So there's a huge lesson here. When having to decide between healing a suffering leper who begged for Christ's healing or preserving his access to entering cities to which the Father had sent him, Jesus chose to heal the leper in loving compassion. Though it led to Christ's being forced no longer to minister openly in the cities, the Father still equipped him to be able to minister to the people of Israel out in solitary places where they could come out to him for his ministry. So in application, if given the choice between adhering to the usual biblical practices or addressing intense human need in God's biblical love, may we follow Christ's lead in exhibiting the love of God above observing usual biblical practices, for God is a loving God at the very core of his being. I put down 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, because it says God is love. That's what he is. If you peel back, if God were an onion and you were to peel back all the onion skins of God at the very core, you'd have love. Because that's what God essentially is, as to his very being. We had an event occur many years ago. We were conducting a baptismal service down at the water. And we were going through, we had a number of people that we baptized. And we had finished baptizing people, and I was preparing to come up out of the water. And all of a sudden, there was a fellow there. He was dressed, he was a construction man. He had his construction boots on, leather, you know, all the way up. And he says, "Hey, I want to be baptized." And I thought, oh boy, now what do I do? And there were still some people waiting around, and they looked at me wondering what I was going to do. So I said, "Well, if you want to be baptized, I have to ask you questions. I have to examine you. Go ahead. Ask me the questions right here." I said, "Right here in front of everybody?" He said, "Yeah, go ahead." So I asked him. I asked him, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" "Oh, yeah, I've accepted him as my Savior." And then I asked him the question. I said, "If for some reason you were to die before we finish the baptismal, would be in another couple of minutes maybe, would you still go to heaven?" "Yeah." "Why?" "Because I believed in Jesus." I said, "Okay, do you understand that this baptism is just an outward testimony of what God's done in your heart?" "Yeah." I said, "Okay, come on, man." So he came in, boots and all. He didn't take them off. These beautiful leather boots. And I was thinking, oh, man, he's going to ruin these things. But he came down into the water, and he was dressed as a construction man. He'd attended the church service. So I baptized him right there. And I thought, I wonder if I'm going to hear about this from the board, because this is unusual. We came up out of the water, and as we came up out of the water and we were walking back, several of the men in the church, they weren't deacons at the time, they came up to me and said, "Pastor, you did the right thing. Because when that fella came to you, he was speaking from his heart. He really wanted to be baptized. So it was all right to do an exception. You had to do that." And so I felt good about that. And thankfully, the board didn't have a problem with it. It was an unusual circumstance. I don't look forward to doing that. We like to examine people ahead of time so things are done in a more orderly fashion. But it was important. Many years ago, the founder of Dallas Seminary, Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer, was conducting a meeting. I think it was in a conference. And as he was in the meeting, there was a man in the congregation who realized that he was lost, and he came under intense conviction, and he stood up right in the middle of the service. He said, "Dr. Chafer, Dr. Chafer," and Dr. Chafer stopped. He said, "You mean to tell me that unless I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm going to go to hell?" And Dr. Chafer said, "Yes." So Dr. Chafer stopped, and he continued to talk with this man, and he led this man in prayer to accept Christ as a Savior, right there in front of the whole meeting. Because Dr. Chafer recognized this man was under conviction of the Holy Spirit at that moment. And his soul was important enough that we need to park everything else and deal with this. And he led this man to Jesus Christ. When he led him to Christ, the man sat down and Dr. Chafer finished his message. And that is the best thing to do. Because when the Spirit of God is at work in a heart, when there's a person who has a need like that, it's important to stop and address that important need. It's true that the Bible says, let everything be done decently in order. And in Christ's situation, decency and order would have demanded that he still be able to go into the cities. That's what the Father wanted. But when it came to addressing human need, and human need that was in accordance with the will of the Father, then you drop everything and address the human need. And so you have to remember, at the bottom line, we've been called to disciple. We're here to disciple people. When that heart is ready, we've got to go with it. And God will bless us if we do that.